I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 21. 1 Samuel, chapter number 21. Begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read a few verses here. Bible says, "Then came David to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, Why art thou alone and no man with thee? David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, There's no common bread under mine hand, but there's hallowed bread. If the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out. And the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the shew bread, that was taken from before the Lord, and put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul." Brother Vince, would you pray tonight and ask God's blessing on our service? Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. I'm interested in the life of David right here. Is he's come to a place right here. If you look back in the 1 Samuel chapter 16, it's a familiar passage of scripture right here that God has sent Samuel, and David has been anointed king over Israel in the stead of Saul. And the Bible says in verse 13 of chapter 16 that Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Notice what it says now, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, David was a young boy at this time. Some writers say he was 15, maybe 16 years old. Now he's been chosen to be the next king over Israel. What a great responsibility and what a great honor was bestowed upon this young man at this time. And as the story goes on, we know how that David became the armor bearer in Saul's house, and the evil spirit would come upon Saul, and David would play the harp, and he'd be soothed, his evil spirit, and David was interacting in the life of Saul, but Saul became more and more jealous of David, and he wanted to kill him. And so David was at a place from a great honor. He went out, he slew the giant, and man, he was famous throughout all the land of Israel. And when they came back from this great battle with the Philistines, you remember the story of how the women came out dancing and saying that Saul had slew his thousands and David had slew his 10,000s, and made Saul, you know, fighting mad. He made him want to kill David even the more. And so David now has begun to have to flee from Saul for his life. David had respect for Saul. He didn't want to raise up his hand against God's anointed. He respected the office of king there, and he knew that in time God would give him the throne. But right now, he's gone from a hero to helpless. From a great hero in the land, and now he finds himself all alone in a great battle for his life. David was God's chosen, God's anointed. He would be probably the greatest king to ever sit on the throne in Israel. But David was going to suffer many failures, many faults, and much shame in his life. You know, he was human, just like you and I. God had his hand upon David. God has got his hand upon each and every one of us. But we're all human. Amen? But listen to me. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 36, the Bible says that David served his generation by the will of God. You hear what I'm saying? He served his generation by the will of God. And I want to tell you tonight, there's going to be some faults and failures in my life. Amen? There's going to be some faults and failures in your life. It's no time to throw in the towel, though. There's no time to quit when we find ourselves stumbling and falling in this battle that we're in as Christians tonight. We're in a great warfare tonight. And the devil is raging throughout our land, throughout our country, throughout our homes. He's gone down many avenues to get to you and me, to destroy our lives and destroy our influence. Now, David had some choices he had to make in life, just like you and I do. He was at a place where he could have said, well, it just ain't worth it. I mean, Saul was out to kill him. Saul had his armies out after him. And David could have said, well, I'm just not fit to be king. I don't want to be king. I'm giving this thing up. Have you ever been to a place in your Christian walk when you wanted to just quit? Have you? I think everybody gets to a place of discouragement and defeat at some time or another in the life of Christianity. If you're trying to do something for God, the devil's got a target on your back. And he knows just exactly how to come at you and how to come at me to destroy us and our influence on others. That's exactly what he wanted to do to David. He wanted to keep him from becoming king over Israel. Now notice a few things right here I want to bring out in this passage of Scripture right here, and let's bring it home to you and I. Number one, David had problems that were growing. Growing. Have you ever gone down an avenue in life where it seemed like every door you opened there's trouble and more trouble? And seemed like, you know, the more you try to serve God, seemed like the worse things get. You ever been in that kind of situation? Life's hard. You believe that? Life is full of hardships. Life is full of troubles. But God still loves you. I can tell you that tonight, and I guarantee you, He's got His eyes on His children tonight, and His ears are always open to the cry of His children. I wish I could tell you tonight that, you know, the Christian life will never have any kind of problems, never have any kind of troubles. But it's just not true. Jesus told us that in this life we're going to have tribulations and we're going to have troubles till we leave out of here. David's problems were growing. Everything seemed to be going all wrong. And I imagine he looked back to when he was a little shepherd boy out there in the field all by himself. I imagine he thought, man, I had it made. I had it made and just didn't know it. Oh, listen to me. His problems were growing, and now he finds himself in this passage right here. He's all alone. You ever felt like you're just all alone in this thing? You ever get a feeling of loneliness? You ever get a feeling of where's God at now? Why is He not helping me now? What's going on now? Hey, David could have, no doubt going on in his mind, well, Samuel come and he poured that anointing oil on me, and I'm supposed to be the coming king of Israel, but look what all is happening in my life. All the troubles that's growing upon me. He was all alone. He was homeless. He was hated. He was hurting. And you know, no one was there. So what does he do? What does he do? All alone. He'd been attacked by the king that he had great respect for and great love for. He became fearful. fearful. His faith was under a great, great test. And can I tell you something tonight? God puts us in a lot of circumstances in life to test our faith. Not that He doesn't know what our faith is, but to show us how weak our faith is or how strong our faith is. Many things we go through in life, it's for our good. Many troubles we have. Have you ever gone through a great trial and seen God move and seen God prove His faithfulness to you, and you come out of that with a greater faith and stronger? David was a man after God's own heart. He was a great man of faith. But now fear has overtaken his faith. Fear. Fear. We live in a day of great fears. A lot of fears and a lot of things going on in this world today that we just don't understand. It seems like it's out of control, in chaos. But God's in control. God knows exactly what's going on. The problems of David seem to be growing in the spiritual warfare that was going on in his life. But God was working. God was in control. Now notice this. The problems that were growing, but the place that he goes. Good place. A good place to get help. He goes to the priest, Ahimelech. And it was there that he's going to seek help. And this was the tabernacle at the time in the history of Israel right here. The priest over the tabernacle, the place of worship, place where people met with God, and it was a place of sacrifice and forgiveness and place of hope. And this is where David headed to in his time of hopelessness and time of hurting. When it seemed like the enemy was right on his trail about to overcome him, he goes to the house of God. Ain't you glad you got a house of God to come to when you get beat down in life and you need help and you need hope and you're hurting in life? You can come to the house of God and get some help for your soul. Listen to me. Thank God for a church. Thank God for the family of God. Thank God for a King James Bible. Thank God for a man of God to stand up and preach. And thank God for fellowship we can have at the house of God. And you get things here that you ain't going to get out yonder in the world. Listen to me, friend. God wants His people together in His place. God wants to speak. God wants to move and touch hearts and change lives and fix hurts and give you help and hope through this life. And He is able tonight to fix whatever our problem is. So the place that he goes to the man of God. But notice this right here. The man of God's got some discernment about him. I'm glad we got a preacher, a pastor here that's got some discernment about him. You know, any man of God needs discernment, need to pray for discernment. You know, sometimes you can look out from this pulpit up here and you can see somebody's face that's troubled. And you know they got a problem. You know they've come this way looking for some help. Looking for a word from God to help mend whatever's going on in their life. And this preacher, Ahimelech, this priest, Ahimelech, it says that he was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, "Why art thou alone and no man with thee?" He discerns some trouble was going on. And what does David do out of his fear? Out of his fear right here, he tells a lie. Now, I know none of y'all ever told a lie before. I didn't get an amen there, did I? David told a lie. Not just out yonder in the world, he come up and told the priest a lie. Has Brother Ken ever come to you and ask you, "Is everything all right?" "Oh yeah, preacher, everything's fine." "Hey, everything's fine." When deep inside you got a problem. Something you just don't really want to expound on, something you don't really want to share. But this man of God had discernment. David tells a lie. It would come back to home. He goes to the man of God. He goes to the house of God. And let me say about the house of God. It, The house of God is to be a refuge. A refuge. It's a place to be where love is shared. Where we as Christian people, you know, the Bible commands us to love one another. To love one another. This ain't to be a place of judging one another, of backbiting and talking about our brothers and our sisters. We're the body of Christ. If you're saved and you've been placed into the body of Christ, the body needs all parts to function right, don't it? Amen. And God has placed us in here to love one another and to help one another, to pray for one another. This is a holy place. This is the house of God. The house of God. This is holy ground right here. This is listen, when Jesus went into the temple one time, he planted a cat, you know, a whip there and started whipping people, knocking over tables. He said, "My house is going to be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." We ought to reverence this place right here. This is a holy place. Look at what God has given us here. A place to come in and feel the presence of God and experience the glory of God and have God speak to our hearts and touch our lives and make changes that we so need to draw us close to Him. We need that. Don't take this place lightly. Don't take the house of God lightly. It's a place to be respected and reverenced. The tabernacle, let me tell you, they had this. They had to go by order in the tabernacle. Everything had to be done by God's instructions. If the priest failed in his duties, God would just strike him dead. Amen. Study your Bible. True. Don't just enter into the house of God with a casual attitude. We ought to come respectful. We ought to come prayerful. We ought to come with the right heart and the right spirit. Amen? When we come into this place, it'll make a difference in what you get. I mean, you don't have to leave as you come. Amen? You can leave different in how you come in the house of God. And God wants to be a help to everyone. The place that He goes. The man of God and the house of God. But now the purpose that He gives. He had a reason for going to the man of God. He had a reason for going to the house of God. You know, Oprah and Dr. Phil hadn't got an answer to everything. But that's where a lot of folks go for all their answers. But there's some things that only God can help you with. David realized that. He'd gone from a hero to a helpless, humble man. And he goes seeking help at the house of God. And we ought to be mindful when we come to the house of God to be attentive and to be sensitive to others. They may be somebody that's hurting that you've got discernment about or maybe you know about and you can help them. People need to know that they're cared for. People that's hurting needs to know that somebody loves them and that somebody cares about what's going on in their life. And so this was David right here, the purpose right here that he gives. Notice in verse number 3 right here, he says, "Now therefore, what's under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or what there is present." He had a need. He was hungry. He was hungry. Now, he came seeking bread because he was hungry. This old world out here is dying of hunger. We got physical needs. We've got material needs. But we've all got spiritual needs in our life. And only God can fill that hunger of a spiritual appetite in our lives. And the house of God is exactly where to be going and seeking it. And God help us all to be able to feed the flock of God and to share one another's burdens and be a help to one another. He was seeking bread. Bread. I'm glad, listen to me, Jesus, in the book of John over there, Jesus said, I am the living bread that's come down from heaven. People need Jesus in their life. There's so many people that's got so caught up in the things of this world that they've omitted the most important things in their life. We're running after materialism. We're running after physical things that's going to pass away. But hey, let me tell you, there's a spiritual hunger in a man's soul that he needs to be filled. Amen. Hunger that he experienced. He said, give me bread. Give me bread. People coming into the house of God, give me something, God. Give me something to help me, Lord. And let me tell you something. The way that we worship God and the way that people look upon us as we worship God at the house of God, it helps them. It helps them, or it can hurt them. Amen? People want to see if our God's real. Somebody lost coming to the house of God, they don't need to come to a funeral service. They need to see some worship and some thanksgiving and some praise from God's people whom God has done so much for. Hunger that he experienced. I guarantee you, Sunday morning, maybe even tonight, there may be somebody right here that needs help from God that only God can give. That hunger for bread, heavenly bread, seeking bread that they can feed upon, feed their spiritual soul upon. We've got it. We've got it. We've got the only hope this world has. There's a lot of people putting all their hopes in religion. Religion will take you straight to hell. But the living bread that come down from heaven, Jesus said, if any man eats of this bread, he'll live forever. And he is the bread. He's the bread of life. The hunger experience. But notice this about this tabernacle, the place that David has come to. This tabernacle, when you entered into the tabernacle, there was a bread there, a table there with bread upon it. There was 12 loaves. Each loaf represented one of the tribes of Israel. And this table and the tribes there, represented by the loaves of bread there, represented the presence of God and His provision for His people there. This was something that was kept in there in the tabernacle every day, round the clock. It was there. On the Sabbath, they would replace that bread and put fresh, hot bread out upon that table. David knew there was bread down at the house of God. Oh, listen to me. When we go out in this old world right here, we got loved ones, you know, maybe it's just a friend, maybe it's just a stranger out there. We can tell them where there's some bread at. We can point them towards Christ when they're going through troubles and don't know which way to turn. Tell them about Liberty Baptist Church. We got some bread down there to share with you. Send them this way. God wants to be a help. And He wants us to be helpers in this place right here. Notice the 12 loaves that was there in the tabernacle, but notice right here the number that he exhibited right here. In verse 3, he says, now give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand. Give me 5 loaves. Did you know 5 is a number of grace? 5 is a number of grace. Why didn't you say, give me 12 loaves? Give it all to me. I think God put that number 5 in there to show us that the most important thing that we can have at Liberty Baptist Church is grace. Grace. People need grace. People need mercy. And Jesus is grace. The Bible says that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. We got Him to give to anybody that's hurting. Jesus never turned anybody away that came to Him. The 5 loaves Give me 5 loaves. We got something to give. Amen? We've got something to give. The greatest gift that's ever been given to man is ours. We can share it. People come into this place are hurting. Have grace about you. Have compassion. You may be the next one hurting. You may be the one that needs somebody to pat you on the back, hug your neck, tell you I'm praying for you, I love you, I'm with you. If I can help you, I will any way I can. People need to hear that kind of compassion and to see that kind of love out of God's people. The problems that was growing, the place that he goes, to the house of God, to the man of God, the purpose that he gives, he was hungry. Then last of this, the presenting of grace. The presenting of the grace. Verse 4 right here, notice this right here. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hollow bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. Notice right here in this presenting of the bread of grace right here, there was a stipulation. Got to be a clean vessel. Don't expect God's blessings to fall upon you if you're not repentant of your sins. A lot of times we rob ourselves of God's blessings because we harden our heart to the sin that's in us. And we're not confessing our sins. But there's a stipulation right here the priest gave to David. He said, are you clean? Are you clean? Create in me, O Lord, a clean heart and a right spirit. And ask God to forgive. If there's anything that would hinder you, you come to the house of God and you won't leave different. You'll leave the same way you came. And notice this, the classifications right here. Common bread and hallowed bread. Holy bread. There's a lot of common bread out here in the world, Brother Tim. You'll find that a lot of preachers done got away from the King James Bible. And they've gone to common bread. Let me tell you something. When folks come to the house of God, they need to hear the truth. They need the true Word of God. They don't need to hear some kind of phony baloney Bible preaching, friend. They need the truth preached to them. They don't need to hear some kind of sermonette preached off of the internet. Listen, they need the Word of God and they need the man of God filled with God to preach the Word in truth and in power. That's what'll get the job done. And the priest said, well, I ain't got no common bread. I've got holy bread. This is the holy, inspired, infallible Word of God. It is without error. And it still stands today in this day in which we live today when the world is shaking its fist in the face of God and saying, we don't want you. The Word of God's going to stand when this whole world is burnt to a cinder. It's the real deal. This is the only book that you can rest your life upon and your future upon. Common bread. I ain't got no common bread. I got a King James Bible. It's holy bread. It's alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll cut you. And then it'll heal you after it cuts you. What a book we've got right here. The living Word of God. You know how I know it's alive? Because I can get in it and start studying and it'll start talking to me. It'll start talking between the lines and it'll tell me things and it'll show me things. And you know, I one of the first things that I did, Brother Tim, when I first got saved, I got in a Bible, man, and I mean it was foreign. I didn't know a thing in the world about God's Word. Nothing. And people were saying, well, study the Word. You know, I'm trying. But it just seemed, I just didn't seem to be getting nothing out of it. And one day somebody told me, said, well, pray. Pray before you study. And you know, I did that, Brother Tim. I asked God to show me something. And man, that book started talking to me. I read something that I done read 10 times before. And after I prayed, it seemed like heaven opened and God began to speak to me out of this book right here. And He showed me some things. It's a living book. And you can know the mind of God and the heart of God through His Word right here. It is so important in the lives of Christians today. In this old world that we live, it is so important that people hear the Word of God. It's so important that we apply the Word of God in our lives. David went from a hero to helpless, but he knew where to get help. The stipulation, need a clean vessel. The classifications, common bread or holy bread. Then there was a presentation. This holy bread right here, it'll do so much for you. Sanctifies, strengthens, satisfies, it's sure, it's settled. It's a standard to live by. It speaks to us, it separates us, it sends us, it searches us. It'll stand when the world is on fire, and it'll save them that are lost if they'll just apply it to their life. You may be high on the mountain today. You may be low in the valley. But I know where to get help. David gives us a good example right here. He was all alone. He was on the bottom. But he went to the house of God and he got some bread. Thank God we can get some bread at the house of God. Thank you for being